nearly 3 years after a comprehensive inquiry into mental health and addiction. Identified massive need for change, the government's announced a 10-year pathway to mental well-being plan and the establishment of an external oversight group to keep it on track. The Mental Health Inquiry report was first presented to the government in November 2018, nearly 3 years ago. The following year, $1.9 billion was pledged in the budget, along with $235 million for building more facilities. You'll have heard the minister's own frustrations at slow progress in the latter. Critics say there's been little progress and no clear roadmap or action plan over the last 3 years. Yesterday, the Health Minister, Andrew Little, announced a new 10-year pathway named Kia Manawanua. Kia Manawanui. He says it sets out short, medium and long-term actions to be taken across government with a focus on key areas such as technology, workforce and investment to make transformative change. Andrew Little will be our guest on 9 to noon tomorrow morning. He has other major matters to deal with this morning, as you heard in the news. But with me now is the Mental Health Foundation Chief Executive, Sean Robinson, who says he feels hopeful about the plan, but the risk of further drift is enormous. Kia ora, Sean. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine. Thank you.
So I've had a look at this document. You've had a look at this document. Your view of it as progress is what?
Yeah, look, I've said at the release yesterday, this is a job well done, but there's still a major job to do. So, the plan is a significant improvement on what we've seen to date. The other thing is that, you know, it's very important to read this with its companion document, which is the one that links the actions in Kia Manawanui to the recommendations of He Aotearoa, the report of the Mental Health and Addictions Inquiry, and the recommendations that the government agreed to in 2019. Now, we've been really clear, and in fact, the cabinet papers that came out of the Minister of Health back in 2019 said you need an implementation plan. You can't have 38 recommendations that you agree to without having some plan of how you're going to put them into action. So, so it's very important we don't lose sight of those 38 recommendations. The government doesn't just get to have a press conference in June 2019 and then forget about all the things it said it was going to do. So I do think that, you have to see this long-term pathway linked to those 38 commitments that they made in 2019.
Well, it's been a long 3 years because there's the 38 recommendations in the original He Aotearoa report. Then there was a review done also by the Health and Disability Health and Disability Commissioners, or one of them at least, whom we've interviewed, who took the extreme step, really, of writing a letter, an open letter, saying things are not happening, things are not moving, things are not being implemented. You yourself came out at that time a year ago and said, what we need is a concrete plan. The question is whether this document amounts to that.
Yeah, and I think the answer is no, it does not amount to that. So 3 years on, we still do not have an action plan. But what I think we do have is a very strong very strong aspirational message of where we're going. And I think what gives me a lot of hope is that, in fact, up till now, I think most of the politicians and many of the officials hadn't even really understood what the Mental Health Inquiry had been asking for. And what was really frustrating was that they'd lost the plot. They weren't even heading in the direction that the Mental Health Inquiry had told them to go in. They were essentially just trying to build up more services. And the Mental Health Inquiry was really clear. It said this is not just about services. This is about three things. It's about preventing mental distress where you can. We have to get upstream of the demand. You know, it's when poverty, racism, poor housing, child abuse, family violence, homophobia, bullying, all these things are driving the demand for mental health services. And we can do something about those things. We can stop people getting into distress. We can also, the second thing was, promote the ways that people can look after their own mental health, promote the ways that they can build their mental well-being. That's our wheelhouse at the Mental Health Foundation. And, for example, last year we reached 48% of all adult Māori, and 60% of those people said, yeah, we did something different in our daily lives that improved our well-being. 24% of farmers are saying that they've done that as a result of our program, Farm Strong. So we can do this. So prevent distress where you can, empower people to look after their own mental well-being, and yes, improve services. But until this document, there was very little recognition of anything but improved services. And given that, that the government's own stats, which, by the way, are over 15 years out of date, say that 1 million people in any one year will experience significant distress, you're just never going to have enough services to meet that demand. You have to get upstream and prevent people getting into distress, and you have to empower the community to look after each other and to look after ourselves.
So what you and others had been critical of was that there'd been this cherry-picking, there'd been the so-called quick wins, which people in and around the public sector will be familiar with, a term they're familiar with, get some runs on the board. This is what you and others have been critical of. At least now there is something of a coordinated overview. But when you look at some of the short, medium and long-term goals in there, do they remain rather vague, rather high level? What does the next step need to be?
Yeah, they do. And look, I said this yesterday at the launch. I said there needs to be a rolling two-year action plan with clear milestones of what are we going to do in the next 2 years, what are we going to achieve, and who's responsible for achieving that. Now, I was pretty pleased that Minister Little in the press conference immediately afterwards said, yeah, that's the next thing that we need to do. So, I think there's been some real reluctance within the Ministry of Health to actually get that specific. And I understand that this is at least a 10-year program of work. Mental health has been so neglected and so misunderstood forever, really. And certainly, under the National-led government, they set out to do nothing and they achieved what they set out to do. They completely neglected mental health for a full decade. So we're coming from a very low base, and it's going to take... There is no quick fix to this. There really is no quick fix. But we do need, given that it's such a long-term program of work, we need to see what we're doing, each step of the way. So, I accept that we don't want 300 kind of action points for 10 years, because that will just be ridiculous. But a rolling two-year sort of program, that this is what we're aiming to do in the next 2 years, and then, we've got this pathway now, so we can see how that fits into where we're going in the long term. But without those really concrete, action milestones with accountability for who's doing what, I'm very concerned that we'll still drift. And, this could end up being a long-term road to nowhere.
The other review that happened was the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, interim at the time, became permanent, did its own review of progress. So I think there's been at least two reviews of the initial progress on the initial report. Now we have this roadmap of sorts. But you mentioned the Ministry of Health, and the Minister himself has expressed frustration with the Ministry, most notably about the physical buildings, right? $1.9 billion, he said, where is stuff happening?
I think there's... everybody who works in the Ministry of Health, I think are good people, really well-intended, and they do a lot of things well. But there's no sugarcoating it, really. The Ministry of Health dropped the ball and lost its way on this. Now, to be fair to them, I think the ball got dropped at the political level too. you know, I've spoken to a lot of politicians, and very few of them had, I think, even read the mental health inquiry, and if they had, hadn't understood it. I do think Andrew Little, you know, I've been impressed with him. I think he's really listened, and I do think he gets it. So that's another big reason for hope. But, you know, when you've got your political leaders don't really understand and knee-jerk to let's get some quick runs on the board, what's that, old services, because that's what people understand, old buildings, that's what people understand. And then you get people in the Ministry of Health. And one of my colleagues jokes that the Ministry of Health should actually be called the Ministry of Disease Management. It's not good at health. It's very good at the sort of what we've always done, which is deliver services, look for the sick people and try to fix them up. But it really struggles to understand how do you keep people well? How do you get, you know, upstream of the demand? How do you actually support the community to do stuff rather than relying on doctors, nurses and psychologists? So, I think there's no doubt it lost its way. I think, you know, the minister expressing public frustration, you know, is pretty unprecedented, actually. And, and there's been a lot of churn of leadership within the ministry. I mean, we are up to the fourth person leading the Mental Health Directorate in 2.5 years. You know, it's very difficult to get traction and progress in a situation like that.
The question
Phil Brady, who's now at the head, he's a good guy. I think, you know, Ashley Bloomfield, he's been somewhat distracted by some little thing. But, you know, I do think the attention is now on mental health. It really frustrates me that it's taken so long to get to this point. But I am optimistic. You know, we've got to keep pushing for the change.
Your view, then, of the external monitoring group, and again, we're sort of caught up in systemsville, aren't we? Write a report, have a review of the report, have another review of the report, have a pathway, and have a monitoring group. How significant is it, and what impact can it have?
Well, you know, I think it sort of says there's been a loss of faith in the ministry itself to, you know, get this right. And, you know, many people, not just, you know, the Mental Health Foundation, said way back in the review that actually if you want a really fundamentally different approach to mental health, don't give the lead to the people who've led the same approach for the last 100 years. You know, the Ministry of Health has not necessarily been the right place to lead this because, you know, this requires cross-government work, and it requires thinking about health and mental health differently. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some pragmatic common sense in having an external group driving it. One of my concerns there is, again, the expertise on that group I don't think is adequate for the job. So I think we are missing someone who understands, I mean, this is Kia Manawanui, long-term pathway to mental well-being. I think we are missing someone on that group who understands and has expertise in well-being promotion. Now, again, if you give the steering wheel to someone who only knows how to go down a certain road, that's the road they're going to go down. So, you know, that's something I'm saying to the minister. You absolutely need to have people who understand mental well-being promotion, you know, within the whole structure. Otherwise, it won't happen.
3 years on, I don't think anyone would disagree, including the minister, that things should be further ahead, especially given the budget allocation came as early as 2019, budget 2019. How do you characterise the experience now of those who need mental health services? I know you've talked a lot about prevention and a lot about the need to get ahead of the need, and I've listened to that. But when it comes to those in need right now, which may include early intervention, right?
Sure,
how would you describe the state of services right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think New Zealand is in a mental health crisis, that it's an ongoing one and it's going to take a long time to get out of. So, you know, access to services, it has improved marginally in some ways. So I said yesterday, and I've said for some time, everything that the government has done is good and is useful. It just hasn't been enough, and it's not comprehensive, and it's not moving fast enough. So, you know, yesterday we heard from people from GP practices, you know, health coaches and well-being practitioners, and they have, you know, they've gone hard and set up a whole series of those. And I know from my own time, you know, when I was realising that I had bipolar disorder, that if those sorts of people had been at my GP practice, that would have been huge for me. So that is happening. But in terms of specialist services, in terms of access to counselling and therapy, in terms of response to crises, you know, it's still pretty much where it was when the Mental Health Inquiry did its work. And, you know, that's extremely frustrating. The services end of things is not going to be easy to fix because it does require a workforce. And again, the rundown of mental health means that we have an ageing workforce that are burnt out because the whole system has been overloaded for so long. And so we have to train a whole lot of new people. That's another reason why I think missing out on the well-being promotion has been a lost opportunity. You know, like, if we can get to 48% of Māori adults in 1 year, you know, without needing an army of doctors, nurses and psychologists, you know, then that's a huge win that we could already have. You know, we could be 3 years down the track of actually empowering the community to support each other. And frankly, as someone who's lived with bipolar, you know, for the last 40 years, it was friends, family, workmates who really made the difference for me in the beginning. And it's and what keeps me well and what allows me to have well-being is not just my medication and the occasional time I need some, you know, professional support. It's also the lifestyle things that I've worked into my life. It's the fact that my circle of my social circle and my work and all these places understand my mental health and are very supportive. You know, those are the things that are going to turn things round. And those are the things that we can do much more quickly than we can train a huge workforce.
Sean, can you just explain what the Mental Health Commission did to reach that many people within one community in particular, one population of New Zealand?
Yep.
What did you do comprehensive interaction? What was it?
Yeah, look, it was, unfortunately, this stuff gets understand when we're in a crisis. So we got some additional funding because of COVID-19 to kind of reach, which we've got some more currently, to reach out to the community. You know, and it's largely online. It's largely sort of, an online interaction, you know, using social media, using online stuff, but also using like the workers within DHBs and community organisations to sort of organise events and it's really tips and hints and motivation and encouragement for people to do simple things that will help their well-being. Even when I'm depressed, you know, and I have times when I'm depressed every year because of my bipolar, you know, I take real notice of, do I go out and go for a walk, you know, because it sounds really simple, but there's heaps of science to say just a little bit of exercise will lift your mood. You know, do I look after my sleep? Do I look after my, my eating? You know, am I making sure that even if I'm feeling like crap, that I still reach out and, you know, connect with people, because that will lift my spirits. It really does. And if you keep doing these little things every day, they will change your... They, you know, the science behind it is it changes your body chemistry. It does the same sorts of things that medication does. In fact, you know, those health coaches that were talking yesterday, their motto is skills, not pills. You know, if you give people the skills, the knowledge, and the constant encouragement to do things that uplift your well-being, it literally changes your body chemistry and your brain chemistry, and it will impact on how you think, how you feel, and how you behave.
Now, Mihi, Sean, I know you're giving us the best, this latest pathway, the best report you can, and we'll be speaking to the minister tomorrow to see if we can get some, perhaps some more flesh on the bones as to what this is going to mean in practice. Thank you again for your time. Sean Robertson, who has long been a critic of the slow progress on the government's mental health plan in response to the 38 recommendations in the He Ara Oranga report, which followed a long inquiry. He is the chief executive of the Mental Health Foundation, and the Health Minister, Andrew Little, will be with us tomorrow morning.